the last time we spoke in 2010, you were planning an Atlanta coyote study. Now there is a study out, and this is a survey that is trying to learn more about human-coyote interactions within the metro Atlanta area. What specifically do you hope to learn from the survey?
Yeah, this is really just kind of the beginning of what we hope to be a larger study. And so what we hope to learn from the survey is, what are people's attitudes towards and feelings about coyotes, first of all, and what kinds of experiences, if any, have they had with coyotes? Things ranging from a simple sighting to perhaps the loss of a pet. Are there areas of town that seem to be experiencing more kinds of coyote activity than other areas? So we would like to quantify these kinds of interactions. You know, we're really interested in approaching this as scientists, as biologists, and learning, you know, more about this animal in an urban setting, because it's becoming better adapted to urban environments.
I wonder if for a lot of listeners, when they think of coyotes, they might be surprised to learn that coyotes would even be a thing in Atlanta. You know, we think of places like Yellowstone, or think of the Wile E. Coyote. What are some of the major misconceptions you find that people have about coyotes?
I think that people think that the coyotes are out to get them. So people hear coyotes howling, for example, and, you know, say, well, there must have been 10 or 15 or 20 large pack of coyotes I heard howling. And from all that we know of coyotes, they're not large pack animals. It's a male and a female pair and their offspring. They want to avoid us generally as much as we want to avoid them. Now, again, the problem comes when they overcome their shyness. And so if a coyote begins to associate humans with food, that's when potential problems can develop. Some people are feeding coyotes inadvertently by feeding cats or dogs outside, feeding their pets outside. So if there's food outside, a coyote will find it. Trying to trap and kill and eliminate predators generally doesn't work. Human history has shown that time and time again. So it's not a problem, if there is a problem, that can be solved by eliminating the predator. Nature knows best, and nature will fill a vacuum. It always does. And if left alone, they will leave us alone.
And that makes me think about this question, why now in Atlanta? You know, there must be some sense that the number of coyotes must merit this study, but we don't have that information yet in terms of the number of coyotes. So why now?
Right. We don't. It's not now in response to some imminent threat. We're interested as scientists, as biologists, to learn more about this unique animal. Now, coyotes are not native to the Southeast, but they've been here probably for 30, 40 years. They were west of the Mississippi River trying to get into the Southeast probably, but red wolves were here in the Southeast. And we as humans extirpated red wolves. In other words, we harassed and poisoned and killed and essentially got rid of red wolves. And that opened up a vacuum that the coyote was very much able to fill.
When did that happen?
Well, again, it's a gradual process. You know, we think that coyotes started to appear in Georgia in the 1950s, slowly. So the loss of the red wolf facilitated that expansion into the Southeast. Also, probably land conversion in the form of, and there are several theories, some say it was agricultural conversion, some say it was the abandonment of agricultural land. Some say it was due to urban sprawl, but changes in the landscape. Coyotes are extremely adaptable. They'll eat just about anything. They do very well around humans. They've been persecuted by humans throughout their lives, throughout their history. But they do, again, they do very well in the presence of humans. And so they were close by. We got rid of the red wolf. We've now allowed the coyote to come in. And what that has resulted in is a situation where we now have essentially a new top predator, whereas the red wolf would have historically been the top predator in the Southeast. Now the coyote is the top predator in many instances. However, those two animals, the red wolf and the coyote, are not identical to one another. So what does that mean from an ecological perspective? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Is it a neutral thing? You know, Those are the kinds of things we want to learn.
And you've said that your next step is field work. What might that look like?
Once we have an idea of where activity is occurring and things like that, you know, then we would perhaps go to the next step and so start to look at diet, for example. We can learn a lot about what they're eating by their droppings, by their scat. Ultimately, it may take the form of attaching some GPS collars onto coyotes, which can give us round-the-clock information about where they go. If we do get to the point where we can go in that direction, we feel like the survey will focus our efforts more efficiently.
And it's not unprecedented either. We were actually talking before the interview about Chicago. Apparently, they have put collars on a number of coyotes with little cameras in them.
They have indeed. The city of Chicago has really pioneered the study of urban coyotes. A professor from Ohio State University, actually Dr. Stan Gert is his name, has been studying coyotes in the Metro Chicago area since I think the year 2000. Metro Denver is also now undertaking a study, and actually they've been at it for about 5 years. And so they've been very helpful, you know, in providing information to me and sharing information. And so yes, they have collared coyotes to get further information. As you mentioned, Chicago has partnered with the National Geographic Society and is attaching on some coyotes what they call critter cams and actually getting some amazing footage of coyotes crossing busy highways, of what coyotes are eating, and you know, how coyotes are maneuvering and surviving in a very urban environment. It's fascinating, really.
Now, the survey has been out since October, so this is very early yet. Still, are there any early findings that you can report?
Yeah, we've had about 500 responses thus far, which we're very excited about. Just in looking at those responses, direct interactions between human and coyote, very rare. People hear coyotes, they see coyotes. There are occasional reports of suspected pets being taken by coyotes, which certainly can happen. But again, our survey is showing us that most people see coyotes, hear coyotes, but that's about the extent of their interaction.
Can you tell so far from the results you've gotten if there are particular neighborhoods or areas of town that are seeing high coyote activity?
We know that there's been some activity in the Virginia Highlands, Ansley Park area. We know that there's been some activity in certain parts of Buckhead. Druid Hills is a neighborhood that experienced some coyote activity as well. I don't think that we've gotten a lot of response from certain parts of the city, the southern parts of the city, for example, which I would very much like to get responses from. We're trying to reach out to neighborhoods really throughout the city. So I think the jury is still out about deciding where there are high levels of activity. And I think the public really wants to know more about this. We would like to educate people about not fearing wildlife, understanding wildlife, living with wildlife.
Chris Mowry, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much for having me.